Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poore, and my guest today is Teresa Sam Houghton. And Teresa is going to talk about the difference between a plant-based diet and a vegan diet. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today, Cynthia?
Good. I'm fine. Now, a vegan diet is all plant-based. What's the difference?
Well, there are many differences. Now, I can set the stage for this here. What I actually do, and in case people listening are not familiar with it, is I actually run a wellness consulting business in the Capital District area, and I help people to transition to a plant-based diet. And one of the confusions that is out there is the difference between veganism and plant-based. Now, while plant-based diets are usually inherently vegan, it's not necessarily true in the reverse. With a vegan diet, the whole point, it's actually a complete lifestyle. The whole point is to avoid animal products as much as possible, not just for dietary or health reasons, but also for ethical reasons. And that is a aspect that many people who choose to eat plant-based for reasons don't necessarily adopt, at least not right off the bat. So there's a difference between the dietary and the lifestyle in that regard. And also, a plant-based diet, if you look at things like the film Forks Over Knives or the book The China Study or the book Whole, both of which are by T. Colin Campbell, they talk about plant-based diets in terms of what they call a whole food plant-based diet, which means that it not only does not include animal products, which we can define as meat, dairy, and eggs, and any derivatives, but it also avoids as much as possible processed foods, including processed oils, where on the other hand, veganism is just anything without an animal product, which interestingly enough includes things like French fries fried in vegetable oil, Oreos, Swedish fish, Sour Patch Kids, et cetera, which are clearly quite processed. And, of course, if you walk down any standard grocery aisle that includes vegan meat and cheese analogs, you can see very quickly that those are highly processed. So a plant-based diet would not include those.
So vegans do not eat French fries.
Well, a vegan would eat French fries if it was fried in a vegetable oil. A plant-based eater would probably make their own roasted potatoes without oil. And now some people who identify as plant-based actually are not completely 100%. They are more so, quote-unquote, more plant-based, where they're making a transition away from eating a lot of meat or a lot of cheese. So It can be more of a broad term, because you have things like vegan before six and people who just want to eat more salad. It can be more of a broad term, but in terms of the whole food plant-based idea perpetuated by Forks Over Knives and Rip Eccleston's The Engine 2 Diet and that sort of thing, they would be two different things. The whole food one is more of a very clean way of eating.
If a person is a strict vegan, then if they go out to a restaurant, it's very hard for them to follow through on a daily basis if they, for some reason, have to eat out, correct?
Well, that depends. You can look at it two ways. You can look at it as restrictive, or you can look at it as a opportunity to be creative. When you don't eat oil, it gets a little tricky, but if you do eat oil, one thing that I have actually done in the past before I personally gave up processed oils was you can look at pretty much everyone's menu online now, and you can see what they have that is vegan, which is interesting because even if they don't necessarily have a vegan dish on the menu, there will be vegan ingredients in other things like rice or vegetables. Some people will have things with chickpeas or lentils. And a lot of restaurants are starting to adopt vegan or plant-based options because it is becoming more prevalent. But if they don't have an overtly vegan dish, you can go and look at what they have that is vegan or plant-based, and then you give them a call and explain your situation, and a lot of them are more than happy to put something together for you as long as you call in advance and ask questions, make sure that there's not, say, butter in their burger buns or that they don't use an animal fat in something, and a lot of them will accommodate you. The ones that don't, you have to find a different place to eat.
Now, you know, there's a Burger King and a McDonald's, and within the everybody. Well, I'm not exaggerating there, but now, when these fast food places make French fries, they're using animal fat, correct?
I don't know if they use animal fat any longer. I believe a lot of people have adopted canola oil and other similar vegetable oils because they're cheaper. However, I don't know if McDonald's still does this or if any of the fast food, I don't want to point a finger at any particular fast food chain. I do not know if any of the fast food chains still use a flavoring that is animal derived, because back in the day when these places very first started out, they would use beef tallow and it imparted a certain flavor to the French fries. And I don't know if they do that any longer. If it is derived from an animal product, then it would be a non-vegan source. And frankly, nobody should be eating that stuff anyway. I'm not going to pull any punches here. That stuff is just so low on the nutrition totem pole as to be not food.
So, are you a total vegan?
Yes, I am. I'm actually 100% plant-based. I have been vegan for, August will be 7 years, and I have been focused on the more plant-based, almost entirely oil-free diet for, I would say, 4.5 or 5 years.
Now, the thing is, I'm going back to the scenario where you go to a restaurant. When you go to a restaurant, they serve bread. Now, how do you deal with bread? You don't actually know what the ingredients in bread is. So what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, usually when they serve a bread at a restaurant, it's got white flour in it, which is not part of a plant-based diet. You can eat it as a vegan if you want to. But as a plant-based eater, it's not part of a plant-based diet because it is so highly processed. Also, they can use, in my case, I have a problem with dairy, and every once in a while they'll use an unknown dough conditioner that is dairy-derived, and that can give me a serious problem. So basically, I do not eat out. Every once in a while, if I am on vacation or somewhere where I need to grab a quick bite, I'll do something like I'll hit a Whole Foods where they have things where all of the ingredients are listed. Now, in terms of bread, if we're going to go back to the bread idea, the whole food plant-based diet, if you eat bread on that, your absolute best bet is the sprouted varieties, like things like Ezekiel. There's also another brand called the Alavaro Street Bakery. They not only make breads that are sprouted, but they also make breads that don't have any salt, which is very nice if you want to avoid added salt and that style of thing as well, which a lot of people do for other health reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. When you do your classes, I know you do cooking classes in Stuyvesant Plaza, but do you teach people how to be a vegan? It's very hard.
It's actually not very hard at all. Perhaps 20, 30 years ago, it used to be hard. but it's actually quite simple. If you think about it, in direct answer to your question, yes, because my wellness consulting business, which is called Quantum Vegan, is a plant-based business, and I'm not just, I go for the whole plant-based thing insofar as it's possible and practical for people. I do focus entirely on plant-based foods, and I show the whole point of the classes I do teach, which are over at Different Drummer, and I'll be talking about those a little later very quickly. I try to show people that it is easy, it's accessible, it's delicious. And if you really think about it, there are many foods that people already enjoy that are already vegan. Say, pasta with red sauce that has no meat in it, that's vegan. Things like fruit and oatmeal, that's vegan. As a lot of green smoothies, as long as you don't use a dairy-based milk or yogurt in them, those are already vegan. If you think about a lot of the things that you eat on a daily basis, people think, I couldn't go plant-based. Well, do you like stir fries? Do you like beans and rice? Do you like pasta? And, of course, if you eat a salad, you make sure that you don't add anything funny to it like chicken, you're going to have plenty of plant-based things that are already in your diet, and it's not hard to go from there. And you don't need to eat strange meat amalgam, strange meat analogs, or fake eggs or fake cheese. You can eat completely whole foods like lentils and rice and vegetables and fruits. Just so many things are already vegan. And if you like to snack on fruit and nuts and trail mix, that's already vegan. It's amazing how many things you can eat. I always tell people that I feel more liberated with my diet now than I did before I went plant-based, because when I ate meat, it was, okay, we eat X on this night, we eat X on this. It was the same meals over and over and over. And now I had to be exploratory. I had to get a little creative when I started. And now it's like I eat so many different ethnic foods and so many different dishes that I never even knew really existed, and some vegan versions of meat dishes that I never would have tried or even touched before I went plant-based. So it's really, I think it's possibly one of the most liberating ways to eat, because you can make so much stuff out of plant ingredients.
Now, when you teach classes and you teach people how to eat vegan, are they surprised, as you say, how easy it is?
Sometimes a lot of people is not necessarily, the question I don't necessarily get is it hard? Is how do I do it on a limited schedule? And I think people kind of misconstrue that it is this sort of complex thing, maybe not necessarily a hard thing, but definitely a complex thing. And I was actually teaching a class last night on plant-based protein options, and as I was cooking, it pretty much occurred to me that a lot of the techniques that I was using were the things that you would use if you were making meat dishes, but it was applied to plants. Like I was making a marinated tempeh, which when you cook it, you put it in the pan and you just keep spooning it over it. You would do that if you were, say, grilling meat. You would put your marinade on your meat while you were grilling the meat. So it's a very similar technique. And, you know, if you make roasted anything, a roasted vegetables, that's pretty inherent. That's not any different. And cooking grains is not difficult. And I think that people are more surprised that it is so similar and it's not this foreign country like it seems to be. People say vegan and for some reason they still think salad, and they don't think, you know, veggie burger stacked high with coconut cream spinach, or, you know, jerk pulled jackfruit sandwich with cheese sauce. They don't think about this stuff. They don't think vegan Philly cheesesteak sandwich. They don't think vegan pizza. Or they do, but they think it's disgusting. Well, making like a vegan pizza is exactly the same as making a regular pizza, just with different ingredients. It's not a foreign country that people kind of travel to. It's a completely accessible way of eating.
Well, would you get a vegan pizza? That sounds interesting.
Actually, you can. I pretty sure they use oil, so it wouldn't be a plant-based pizza, but you can get pizza over at Little Anthony's on Central.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
they
wow.
use Yeah, they use a pardon the noises in the background, actually, as we were talking, I'm actually preparing a plant-based dish. But, yeah, they use, there is a vegan cheese called Daya, D-A-I-Y-A. I do not highly recommend it because all it is fat and starch. But if you need a transition cheese, it's one of the better ones out there because it will melt on your pizza. And they use that on their vegan pizzas. And as a matter of fact, last weekend, they actually hosted an extension of the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale outside of Little Anthony's. So they're down with that stuff over there.
There's a Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale?
It happens a couple, I can't tell you exactly when it happens, but it happens a couple of times a year, and different places participate in it. It's sort of like a pop-up bake sale in various places around different locations. And, yeah, people, they cook stuff, they donate it, and the money will go towards whatever organization is heading up that particular facet of the vegan bake sale.
Now, has anything like that been done in Albany?
Well, I think the one that they did last weekend was the first time they had it in this area, but don't quote me on that. It was just the first time I was aware of it. So.
Uh-huh. And they have a lot of yummy stuff there?
Well, if the pictures I saw on Facebook were any indication and the list that I read on Facebook was any indication, yeah. Now, a lot of that stuff obviously would not fall on having a plant-based diet because it's going to have oil in it, it's going to have probably processed sugar in it, which is an interesting quandary on a vegan diet because some white sugar is actually refined using bone char. So it's not actually vegan. You actually have to look for vegan sugar. Personally, when I'm going to use stuff like that, I prefer minimally processed stuff. Like there's one called Sucanat, which is basically just dry sugar cane crystals, and that's a less processed sugar. So those things would qualify as vegan, but not necessarily plant-based. However, you can make plant-based baked goods if you are willing to make some substitutions. One of these days, I'll take a class on that.
What kind of chicken did you mention?
Sucanat. It is a dried sugarcane crystal. It looks more like brown sugar, and it has a nice, rich flavor. It's sugarcane. It's sugarcane.
Can you get that at the co-op?
Yes, you can. You can get it at Honest Weight. I believe you can get it in the bulk section and also in bags. I'm trying to remember if Wholesome Sweet. There is also a brand of vegan sugars called Wholesome Sweeteners. You can get those there, and I think you can get those just at grocery stores, too, the Wholesome Sweeteners. It's not hard to find this stuff now, because last night at my class that I was teaching, people were asking me, do you have to go here or there to get that? And I said, no, you can go to Hannaford. And they were like, really? Things like tempeh, everybody's got that now. A lot of this stuff, you can find some of this stuff at places like Trader Joe's. And some of the more specialty stuff you will have to go to a place like Honest Weight for. But frankly, again, the vegan and plant-based thing is way more accessible now because more people are getting into this. They're starting to see, and this is one of the reasons that I do this for a living, is that when you eat this way, there is more and more science bearing out the fact that it can not only reduce your risk for it, but also, in some cases, completely reverse certain chronic conditions like diabetes and heart disease that are some of the leading problems in this country. So that's one of the reasons this is getting more popular, especially the inherently plant-based diet that gets rid of a lot of the processed stuff. Because, you know, you only have to look around and read just a little bit to know that the processed flours and the processed sugars and all of that has been making our obesity and diabetes epidemics increase for the last 30, 40 years. So it's a good way to transition away from things that could basically be seriously detrimental to your health a lot sooner than you may think.
Oh, you know, you just brought up something interesting, and it's something that I've been thinking about. I was a smoker at one time, and for me to stop smoking, I bought Galazes. And Galazes just kind of weaned me off my cravings for nicotine. Okay, so if I was to go into the co-op and get that sugar cane, if whenever I wanted a sugar fix, I would take a little bit of that, and that would satisfy the craving.
That would actually be an extremely bad idea. That would be like putting yourself back on an addictive substance. What you would want to do is switch to something more naturally sweet, because the sugar cane is still slightly processed. What you would want to do is do something like medjool dates or other very nice sweet dried fruits. Those are very, very sweet. One of my favorite recommendations that I've probably mentioned this on previous shows, actually, one of my favorite recommendations for people who are, say, kind of addicted to candy bars or something, is to take a medjool date and you cut it open. You don't cut it entirely in half. You just cut it open far enough to get the pit out. Stuff it with your favorite nut or seed butter. Like if you like sunflower seed butter or peanut butter, you stuff it with that, and I will swear to you, it tastes just like a Snickers bar. So if you did that, that would be a way to satisfy your sugar craving, and it would be more of a whole food. You still get kind of the sugar hit, but dates also have fiber and nutrients, and then, of course, whatever nut butter you chose would have fat and protein and vitamins and minerals. So it's all about making a healthier substitution.
When you do your classes, you do a number of them in Stuyvesant Plaza.
Yep.
When people come in to do your class, are they vegan already, or are they curious?
I think I get a pretty good split. I get people who are already vegan and would like a little help doing more, and I get people who have health issues and have heard about the potential benefits of plant-based diets. And then I get the people who do, fall under the category of, quote-unquote, veg curious, where they want to know more about it. Or maybe they want to do more of it but just don't know how and need the guidance. So it's a good mix of different levels.
So, you know, to sum it up, What is the difference between plant-based and vegan?
Well, I can reiterate that veganism is definitely more on the lifestyle side. It's not just a diet. It is definitely considered to be a lifestyle that includes not only a diet that does not have animal products. Again, I'll go down the list. No meat, no dairy, no eggs, or any derivatives thereof, or any ingredients derived thereof, nor does it use any animal products in anything, clothing, cosmetics, anything like that. And also, it is defined as far as is possible and is practical. There will come points where you just cannot avoid animal products. Like, there will be animal products used in maybe something that made your car, or in some kind of medication that you need in an emergency situation. In those cases, you can't necessarily be as picky. But a plant-based diet is more of a health thing, where you adopt a meat, dairy, and egg-free diet that also gets rid of all processed foods insofar as is completely possible, and also gets rid of oils, which technically fall into a processed category. So that's the difference. It's not necessarily as much of a lifestyle thing as it is a health or even just a personal choice thing.
Now, they say that vegans lack many or a few, or I don't know the exact number, but they lack nutrients that they should be getting. Is that correct?
It is said that that is the case, and what happens is you get the people, I knew a vegan and they were sick. And, yeah, that'll happen to you if you eat donuts and french fries and Diet Coke nutrition, that sort of thing all the time. Or if you eat nothing but salad, the whole trick is like any other diet. I mean, vegan diets, plant-based diets can be unbalanced just like omnivorous diets can. If you think about it, how many people who aren't vegan are sick? How many people who aren't vegan aren't getting what they need? It's not just veganism that can have that problem. But on the other hand, people who eat varied, that include lots of different kinds of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds, will get a full complement of everything except vitamin B12, which is recommended that you supplement. Now, people will talk about things like omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D. Well, that is a very interesting thing. Vitamin D is kind of chronically low across the board, no matter what you eat, because of the area that we live in, and we have such long winters where we're bundled from our eyeballs to our toes and not getting a lot of sunlight. So that's not veganism, that's being in the Northeast. So some of these things are still up in the air. There's still research on it. And you can actually have, whether you're vegan or not, certain genetic mutations that make it difficult for you to convert nutrients inside your body. So I would say that with the exception of B12, which is only in animal products because animals eat dirt, by the way, there is no reason to point the finger and say vegans are deficient in. I would encourage anybody who has a question about that to look up the vegan bodybuilding group called Plant Built. If you think that vegans are sick or weak or have deficiency issues, you look at some of those people and they are so ripped. I lift weights and I can't believe it. So that's my favorite example.
So if anybody wants to contact you or to attend one of your classes, how can they reach you?
Well, I have several different avenues that I can be reached through. I have my website, which is quantumvegan.com. You can also be emailed at sam@quantumvegan.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you want to get a list of all my classes, those are on my website under events. And you can also call different number. And is it okay if I give a phone number?
Absolutely.
Okay, you can also call different drummer. Their phone number is 459-7990. And my next class is actually next Monday. It is the very first in a series that I'm calling Living the Plant-Based Life. So if you want to know more about this and you want a really good introduction, it is, I think, the most cost-effective way in terms of, in relation to what my wellness consulting services generally go for. It's the most cost-effective way to get 4 complete 2.5-hour classes that tell you all about how to live a plant-based life. And I'm starting with fruits and vegetables. In 2 weeks, we'll go to whole grains. 2 weeks after that, we'll be beans and legumes. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll be doing nuts, seeds, and healthy fats. So if you're interested in that, there's a full series that you can sign up for. So you have to register if you want to come. I highly encourage that if you want to know more about this subject and if you want to taste a whole lot of really great food. Every class has a unique menu.
Wow. So you've been listening to Teresa Sam Houghton, and she talks about veganism and plant-based diets. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, or if you have a comment, go on Twitter, #FocusOnAlbany, and share your thoughts. Sam, good luck, and thanks for being on Focus on Albany. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for having me, Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening.